Hello, KKFI listeners, and welcome to Trans Talk, this week's edition of The 10th Voice. I'm Una, here with my wife and co-hostess Fiona, who is also our sound engineer and producer today. Hello, Fiona.
Hello, everyone.
You're way over there behind the soundboard where I can't reach you, but...
I'm much safer here.
Yes, of course. We have another full house today on Trans Talk. We are going to kick off the program by talking with Cassandra Peters, who is the founder of the Johnson County Q Space, the only LGBTQ plus youth center in Johnson County, Kansas. Joining Cassandra in the studio today with me around the round table are some of the folks from the Q Space. We have Adam, Aaron, and Kaz here today with us. In our second half of the program, we are going to have in our studio Marissa Wolf, who is the director of New Works and the associate artistic director of the Kansasori Repertory Theater. Ms. Wolf is here on Trans Talk to share the details of an upcoming new play reading titled Click by Jacqueline Goldfinger, which features a transgender character, and she's going to tell us all about that. Fiona will finish up the show with a community calendar update if she's not too busy behind the board. And we're going to talk right here in the studio with several members of the Johnson County Q Space. But first, I think we have a short break coming up for some announcements, Fiona.
Yes, we've got a very brief station break to take.
Well, Michael, me boy, all us wee people want to know what's on the next Arts Magazine show.
Well, lucky, the Living Room Theater will join us and talk about their new world premiere comedy, The Mascot.
They're always after me, Lucky Charms.
Then later, City Theater of Independence and their show A Funny Thing Happened on the way to the Forum.
Let's win one for the Gipper.
That's Monday at noon, Arts Magazine show.
We're looking inward, and so we're sort of Fortress America. We're building the walls around us, and we're not really wanting to have a negotiation with somebody or talk to them. When you demonize the other side, and you're basically saying they're not appropriate human beings, it's easy to treat them badly.
That's Longview Community College political science instructor John Shively on the next Radioactive Magazine discussing the causes and cures of political polarity. It's on the next Radioactive Magazine, Tuesday at 6 p.m.
And welcome back to Trans Talk, this month's edition of The 10th Voice. Over history, one of the core strengths available to support living as a transgender, a gender nonconforming person, has been being part of a community. And community can take many forms, at first being secretive meetings to give support and information to one another, and later becoming more public as support for recognizing our inherent human rights grows. Although great strides have been made in recent history, transgender and gender nonconforming youth, unfortunately, are often still very much underserved. Well, we are very fortunate to have with us in the studio today Cassandra Peters, who is the founder of the Johnson County Q Space, the only LGBTQIA youth center in Johnson County, Kansas. Joining Cassandra in the studio today are some of the kids from Q Space, Adam, Aaron, and Kaz. Cassandra and everyone, welcome to Q. Welcome to Trans Talk. Yes, this is the virtual Q Space.
Yeah.
So, Cassandra, I want to start with you and have you tell our listeners a little bit about the goals of the Johnson County Q Space and explain what Q Space itself actually means.
Well, I realized probably right after the election that there wasn't going to be a lot of events like this, spaces for LGBT kids to find a community. And on the Kansas side, there was nothing. The Missouri side is kind of hard for some of us to get to after school. So I wanted to get this started, give them a sense of community, give them a place where they can just relax and be themselves and not have to fear being judged or weird looks or anything like that. And also learn a little bit. We first half of our meetings, we meet once a week, and we do some social time where they can get to know each other and hang out. And then we do kind of like a workshop or presentation. So we've done safe binding workshops. We've done clothing swaps. We've had the Missouri Gay Rodeo out and all kinds of different people from around the community that can, you know, help show them that, you know, they can have a future. They can be whoever they want and do whatever they want and be proud of who they are and be celebrated.
What was the initial impetus? What created your activism and your tremendous amount of effort that you've put into making this space?
At Pride 2016, my oldest came up to me and asked if he could buy a trans flag. And I was like, well, no, because, I mean, you're not trans, so that would be, you know, like kind of rude or something. And he was like, well, actually, I have something to tell you. And I went, oh my gosh, okay. So I bought it. And then, you know, I immediately set out trying to figure out, what can I do to help you? How can I make sure that you are safe and protected in our community? And I realized that the laws aren't going to do that. So we have to just, as individuals, make sure that they are safe and have a place.
So the name QSpace, a couple mm-hmm. people asked me when I mentioned you were going to be on the show today, what does QSpace mean itself?
Queer space. We had a few. I think the kids voted, and that one sounded the most fun. But it's also a little under the radar for some people that might not be able to say to their mom, can I go to queer space today? And
right. That's a little bit, yeah, I understand completely. So you meet regularly. How often a month do you meet?
Every Thursday.
Every Thursday.
From 5:30 to 8:30.
And you have a safe place to meet that's provided?
Yes. St. Andrew Christian Church has provided us the space to use, and they've been awesome. They have a great billboard outside. You know, love is love, and they're very open and affirming, and they provide copies of the Gailey and Camp magazine for everyone.
Now, what is the age range of the folks that typically would come to Johnson County Q Space?
It is 12 to 20.
Mm-hmm. And about how many folks will you have show up for the Thursday meetings?
It averages about 20 each Thursday.
Wow. That's incredible. And mostly from the Olathe area or from all of Johnson County?
It's pretty mixed. I think probably about half of them are from the Olathe area. Quite a few are homeschool, and we've got some DeSoto, some Shawnee Mission, and one or two from Blue Valley.
So all over the metropolitan
yeah.
area, really.
Yep.
That's very nice. And you have been more than just providing a safe place. You've also been working with the rest of the community around you to try to create a safe place outside of Q Space
yeah.
for the transgender and gender nonconforming youth, especially some of the work that you've been doing trying to help the school district, you know, understand how to better serve the kids. Can you give me some examples of some of the things that you've been doing with them?
Yeah. About a year ago, I did a screening of Gender Revolution, and I had a panel, and some members of the Olathe City Council came out for that, and that was open to the public, so it was really good. We had some little ladies afterwards, you know, I was kind of worried, what are you going to think? And they go, gosh, we wish people would just talk about this more. And I held a transgender workshop at Shawnee Mission Unitarian Universalist, and they were had K-Step come out and do that with lots of speakers. And we mm-hmm. got credit for all the psychologists and area schools. Any teachers that wanted to come could use continuing education credit. So that was really good. We had a pretty full house there.
Oh, nothing draws people like
yeah,
CEUs.
Right?
Yeah.
we now have a community garden for Q Space, so that's going to help the community. We're going to get that started hopefully in the next couple weeks, and we're going to donate those vegetables to the Olathe Hot Soup, hopefully, which just got started up, or some other homeless shelters that might need food.
Where is the garden?
Yeah. It's in Olathe off 135th Street. I do not know the exact address yet.
Oh, cool.
But we have a 21 by 10 foot space. So we're going to have a lot of planting to do. Probably each kid's going to get to do whatever they want on it. And let's see, we did go to the school board in Olathe after a bullying incident. And, you know, had about 10, 15 people come and testify in front of them that, you know, we really needed to get enumerated bullying policies and make sure we add sexual orientation and gender identity to all the non-discrimination policies in the area, because the case-by-case basis doesn't really help people feel comfortable or safe.
And we've seen the reports of the bullying incidents in the media. We've reported mm-hmm. it here on Trans Talk, of course, as well as other segments of the 10th Voice, and it's been in the Star and so forth. Can you tell us, for the listeners who haven't heard about this, a little bit about the events?
The events that happened?
Yes,
the
events, the incidents that happened.
I think there was there's a lot of misgendering that was happening, a lot of ignorance, not necessarily malice, I hope, where they would post seating charts and just show the birth names or the given names, not their chosen names. And I know at the parade, there's an incident where the kids were calling out slurs and getting candy thrown at them, and they were told to kill themselves. And then memes were passed around saying they were trash.
There was a lot of social media bullying.
Lots of social media. It continued for weeks. And luckily, it was... what week was it right afterwards? Some kind of kindness week or something. So they, we went ahead, and that first day, Monday, I thought a few people would come out and, you know, hold some signs. So when they come back from school after having been bullied on Friday, we'd have a couple people saying, hey, you know, you're awesome. We love you. Don't worry about it. Don't let it get to you. And ended up 150 people showed up.
I read about that. That was incredible.
Yeah.
So I want to have some of the folks that are benefiting from QSpace talk a little bit, and I'm turning my gaze to the person to my left, Adam.
Hiya.
Hi. I wanted to ask you a little bit, how did you first learn about the Johnson County QSpace?
Well, after I came out to my awesome mom, she had been doing a lot of research because she just loves her research. She bought a bunch of books about being trans, and she stumbled across QSpace on Facebook when she was first joining, and I believe through some friends. So she's like, hey, do you just want to go here and see how it goes? I was like, sure. And they were holding a fundraiser at Mod Pizza, which is, they've supported us for a while, and that was my first place where I met Cassandra and some other people from the group. So I started going as much as I could, and it's been amazing to be with everybody.
So how long have you been going to QSpace?
About a year, maybe a little less. I'm kind of new in the community, just in general, so it's been awesome to have these people with me through the whole thing.
And I bet it's really nice to have a concentration of people like yourself, because while in a specific school there may be just a couple others, that when you have that many of your own people around you, it must make you feel a lot safer.
Yeah, our school's GSA is kind of sparse. We don't have a lot of people show up. And I know there are a lot of gay kids at our school, trans, but nobody shows up to it, so it's less of a tight-knit community around us.
I know that the Olathe schools are a little hit and miss. Olathe North is really good about, that's my alma mater, so to speak, and I've had the folks from their GSA on, but I know some of the other schools, and you don't have to mention where you go, of course, but they're a bit less supportive.
I don't know. They're really great about being open to the trans community, and we've worked with the administration and staff on getting things to work better for the trans kids, I guess more on a case-by-case basis, but our GSA doesn't really exist at the moment. We have about 7 kids show up to every meeting, and they're only once a month, and they're never advertised, so it's a weird community to be a part of right now, and it's just hard to find people in your niche, necessarily.
It can be difficult. I've been to GSAs where you have 20 allies show up, but no one that's actually LGBTQIA, which is good in one way, but also really awful in another way.
It's kind of the same with us.
So I want to go over to the person to the right of you. At least you out there just have to take my word for it because you can't see the studio.
But it's our right. Stage right.
Stage right, right. Wait, is it?
Yes.
Oh, you did stage. And Aaron, you know, tell us, when did you start getting involved with the QSpace?
I started getting involved in QSpace around 6 months ago. It was proposed to me by a friend of mine, a good friend who had found out about QSpace on her own and invited me to come along as well. And after coming to QSpace, I had such a great time on the first meeting, and I decided to come back.
What are some of the favorite activities or things that you've done at the QSpace that you really liked?
My favorite thing we've really done at QSpace would just be the community itself. I don't care as much for the specific events we do, but just being around the other people. That's why I really go to these meetings.
And do you think that there's really a good sense of camaraderie? It makes you feel like you're sort of part of a community there?
Most certainly. Whether you're young or old or somewhere in between, it always makes you feel welcome.
Now, I don't know if you go to the same school as anyone else here, but is there a lot of support at your school for trans and non-conforming youth?
At the high school I went to just last year, there was quite a lot of support. The GSA was quite active, and there were many people who attended it every week. But at the college I go to now, it's more of a tight-knit community there, and it can be a bit intimidating to get into it at first, but they're all nice people.
I think it's really good that the Q space overlaps between high school and college, because some people think there's this really hard line. You, as soon as you graduate, it's like you're off on your own, you know, just figure it out somehow. But the real world isn't like that, so it's really good that they give you that transition point and don't block you. What are some of the things that you think what are some of the things that you think at QSpace have helped you the most, that have actually, you know, helped you grow as a person or get, you know, a sense of security or whatever?
Well, my family isn't the most supporting, so it's the only opportunity I have on a regular basis that allows me to really express myself and find out who I am. And the talks I've had of people there and the attire I can wear to those events allow me to figure out more about myself.
It's really good that you can have a place you can, I guess, let your hair down, so to speak. And for me, early on, before I came out, it was limited to places like Missy's and so forth. But then that was back in the dinosaur ages and everything. So I wanted to ask Kaz, and I'm sorry, I forgot your full name. I keep thinking Kaz because I'm used to the angel on Casta. Supernatural.
Yeah, it's okay. It's Caster.
Thank you, Caster. So when did you first learn about QSpace and start getting involved?
I was actually friends with Cassandra Peters' oldest kid, and he brought flyers and such to our GSA about the week after it started. And so I've been there since the beginning, really. Our school's GSA has been...
So you're the old-timer.
I am, yeah. One of the few left, because everybody else is
aged out.
They kind of aged out and grown up.
That explains the grizzled gray hair.
Yeah.
So what do you think has been the best thing that QSpace has done to help the folks that go to it?
Well, me in particular, after the incident at homecoming, and after a few things that had happened at my school, the group really helped support and helped us find ways to deal with it and how to move on from the things that have happened. And it's a really great place to, you know, go hang out and be yourself and have fun.
What are some of the activities that you've done that you've really liked?
Well, a long time ago, we did a clothing swap so that we could get, gender-affirming clothes from each other, so that, we could get rid of the clothes we aren't going to wear anymore and give them to people who need them more. And so yesterday, I wore a shirt I got from that, which was... It was really helpful, and we've done workshops on safe binding and... that one was really nice. And I liked the fundraisers we've done, so.
I've always thought the idea of clothing swaps were a great one because, you know, you end up with so many unwanted clothes. Back in the day, it was traditional. Back in my day, which is, you know, your grandparents' age and everything, it was traditional you burned all your clothes. And that was such a waste because you would just literally, well, for me, because I worked in a professional environment, I had $10,000 of male clothes, and I ended up donating it all, but it went to the general donation, you know, Salvation Army or whatever. I would have much rather given it to a bunch of, you know, folks that wanted to present masculine and have them benefit from it.
Right.
It's just hard to keep the inventory going with so many, to have a place to keep all of the clothes. And then you find out some people in the community have really awful taste and nobody wants the clothes. I've had that happen to me before. Cassandra, I want to turn the mic back to you and ask you a couple of questions. You mentioned a few things that are in the works, like your community garden and so forth.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about some of your long-term goals. You know, what are your goals for QSpace? You know, not just in this coming year, but would you like it to grow and actually form, say, different chapters within the counties of the area? Or, you know, well, I don't want to you know, prejudice you, but well, what do you think you'd like to do?
Yeah, we actually, after I started it in March, come November of last year, so just a few short months later, we merged with Casey Passages, who has a youth group on the Missouri side. And that way, you know, I feel like even if I move out of the state, then they have the resources to be able to continue it for many years to come. And so with them, they are looking at KCK and Lee Summit Independence area. So we definitely want to have people, other children be able to visit and not have to drive 40 minutes to do that. We do want to expand because there is that age range where you're like 20 to 25, where there's not a lot to do except go to bars, and people don't really want to go to bars. So we are looking at maybe having a once a month young adult group. We're also having a college fair to try and get our older, close to college age kids to be able to see, okay, well, what's going to happen in college? Do they have a safe campus? Can I be myself there? You know, what are your policies like? And so on April 14th, we're going to have the college fair at Blue Valley North High School. And anyone that wants to check it out can go to our Facebook page and get more information.
How can they find your Facebook page?
It is facebook.com/JOCOQSPACE, JOCOQSPACE.
And will we have a link to that, Fiona, in our 10th Voice social media?
In fact, I've already pre-posted the community calendar for the month like I usually do, and it's got the regular announcement about the Thursday meetings, but it calls that one out earlier in the duration of it. I've called out any special one-off events right up at the top before we go into the monthly items below.
Well, aren't you special?
I try to be, and I sparkle too.
Yes, you do. But moving back to our guests, I see your point exactly. I do a lot of, I guess I call it mainstreaming of the youth that are in their 20, 21, 22 year age range. And a lot of them, the only place they can really think of going is like out to a bar or a club, mm-hmm. and some place where they feel like they can be safe. You know, Missy's keeps coming up because most of the other places where you can be trans or nonconforming openly and see a lot of the people like you have sort of vanished over time.
Right.
But that's not really the best or most productive place to meet people, you know. It's nothing wrong with Missy's. I go there every weekend. That's not a plug. That's a fact. But I'm just saying that it would be good to have more meeting space. The Center for Inclusion has a few groups that focus on that as well. But again, like you say, because of the large geographic spread of Kansas City, it's really great to have something centered in the Johnson County area.
Yeah, and we also want to try and get some of the older kids, as they're reaching 18 to 20, for them to take charge of meetings and plan the meetings and kind of take ownership of the group. We have one of our kids is doing a Jeopardy game next week. So they're planning that one, and actually he also did the clothing swap. So we would like them to be more involved and, you know, be empowered to do something to give back to all the younger kids and teach them what they went through.
That's a really excellent idea. It gives people a chance at leadership and giving back. And also, if people are considering going to some of the local colleges, some of them actually have LGBT scholarships for people that have demonstrated leadership in LGBT youth and might get involved in taking leadership in some of their safe spaces.
I think that's very important that the local groups led by this grassroots effort like you've done are really critical for keeping our movement going, because it's sort of like a pull versus a push in the Obama administration, when the administration was much more open to not just gays, lesbians, and bisexual persons, but for transgender and gender nonconforming persons. There was this pull that created some of this groundswell and moved some of it out into the open. And now that we've gone through reversal, it seems like we need a push from below, from that grassroots area. Now, you said that you're very excited to talk about a college fair that you have coming up on April 14th. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I can't take a lot of the credit for it. It was actually one of my volunteer advisors, Lisa, It was her idea. She's been with me since the beginning, and she's sick, so unfortunately she couldn't be here. But she was in the Pride group at Emporia State, and she learned so many things and really wanted to have them come out and talk to the kids about what they can expect in college. And she started inviting them and more groups, and it finally became so much that we had so many colleges interested, we had to do a whole separate day for them to come out. And it's going to be just the GSA groups from these schools, and that way they can talk to all the kids about what they do, what activities they have, and, you know, the parents can also find out, make sure their kids are safe, and do they have gender-neutral housing? Do they have gender-neutral bathrooms? What do I do? How do I pick a college when I can't just think about the subjects and my, you know, degree plan. I have to find out if I'm going to be beat up when I go there.
Exactly. And I heard something about an equality team prom that you might be involved with.
I think the Kansas City Center for Inclusion is doing that. And then we have the Pride Tent. KCAVP Passages and Q Space. We're going to be handling the Pride Tent this year. So look forward to that.
Yes, I will. My company is actually putting a booth out at Pride for the first time ever, which is my little brother Ari, who's been on the show a few times before, has managed to beg, borrow, and steal some funding to get it. So I'll be out there baking in the sun.
Great news. I'll probably be out there baking in the sun with the Transfinity KC because we'll be performing one of the days.
I think everyone goes out and bakes at the sun at Pride, especially because there's sometimes not a lot of clothing.
But perhaps as well as the handing out of safe sex packages and stuff, they also should hand out little mini samplers of sun lotion.
That would be useful. They usually hand out some things in bottles, but I think those are lubricants. But moving on. So I'd like to just ask, you know, any final messages from any of my four guests here. You know, how would you encourage other people out there who might be trans youth in Johnson County, the area, to come to Q Space? You know, do you have anything to try to say to the audience and have them come on down and so forth?
I'm a big fan of having new people at Q Space all the time, just because it's fun to shake it up a little bit and see what other people come up with in regards to ideas. And it's also great to see that more parents are getting inclusive. So, like, if there are parents listening to this broadcast, like, and you have a trans kid, you're on the right path to getting them somewhere. You know, get them to Q Space. Get them somewhere where they can feel accepted like that, and that's amazing for them, even more than I can describe. My mom has been awesome in getting me here, and it's the community is just stronger than you ever think it would be.
That is really awesome. Aaron, any words of advice that you would like to give?
Well, I'd like to echo the same message. It is quite an opportunity in order to have your kids come out to be in this sort of space and have them feel accepted.
It's wonderful. Castor, what do you have to say to our audience there to get them on down to Q Space?
Well, everyone is welcome. It doesn't matter, like, if you're an ally or if you're LGBT. We would love to have you. And everyone is, like, we're very accepting, so it's a great place.
It certainly sounds like it. I really wish I'd had a place like that when I was young. Thank you all very much for being on Trans Talk. Adam, Aaron, Cassandra, and Castor, thank you so much. We're going to take a brief musical break while we shuffle chairs madly in the studio to have our next guest up. Please hang on, and we'll listen to a little bit of Billy Tipton piano music and rejoin us right back here in a couple. Thank you. Hello and welcome back to Trans Talk, and we are here to talk with our next guest, Marissa Wolf, and I'll give just a little brief introduction. You all may know, if you're a frequent listener, and all of you better be, in the past few months in Kansas City, we've had a sudden influx of transgender-related artistic productions, which we've covered here on Trans Talk. Last October, we interviewed the directors and some of the cast of the play Casa Valentina about transgender and cross-dressing gay men at a retreat in the 1960s. In upstate New York. And in December, we spoke with the creators of the transgender opera As One, a heartfelt story about transition and spiritual acceptance. So today in our studio, we have Marissa Wolf, who is the director of New Works and the associate artistic director of the Kansas Sori Representative Repertory Theater. Ms. Wolf is here to share some details of an upcoming new play reading titled Click by Jacqueline Goldfinger, which features a transgender character. Hello, Marissa. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
So let's start out with a little bit of the basics here. I understand that this effort is part of something called the New Works Program at the KC Rep. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, absolutely. So the KC Rep is one of the biggest theaters in this region. And we have a wonderful New Works arm of our company that's been promoting new plays for the last 10 years, but really for the last three, we've had built this program called Origin KC. And it's an opportunity to essentially build the 21st century American classics through new plays. So we work with playwrights both locally in Kansas City and nationally who are telling oftentimes new stories that have not yet been seen on stage. And one of the things I love about New Work is that you're going to pull in a diverse body of voices who are going to share experiences in their storytelling on stage where people can come and maybe sometimes for the first time see themselves reflected on stage. And I love that. It's so important because there are so many gaps in our theater canon.
And this leads right into the play in question that we've been talking about, which is called Click. And I was wondering if you could tell our audience a little bit about it.
Yes, so this is a fantastic new play by Jacqueline Goldfinger. And Click is, it's about two young women who are assigned as roommates their first week in college. One is cis and one is trans. And they are fast friends, very close. And one of them, the cis girl, very quickly in the play, she lives through a rape at a frat party, and the play then becomes essentially a kind of amazing way in which these two friends kind of take on the world and become sort of hacktivists, meaning hacker activists, to seek revenge and sort of advocate for all people's rights and autonomy. And it's sort of, if you like Sherlock and Moriarty kind of stuff, it's got this sort of way in which the play moves over a 15-20 year span, and we watch as these two women take on the world over 20 years in really surprising ways.
Now, from the description that I read, and you sent me a copy of the script too, it seems like it's also a little bit dark and gritty. Would you say that's
fair? Yes, I think that's totally true. I mean, there's humor in it for sure, but it is. It's got darkness to it. It's got there's a kind of a revenge quality, like a sort of revenge theme that is, I think, we have an appetite for right now at this moment in our cultural moment. And it's intense, you know, that this terrible attack happens within the first five pages of the play. But here's what I'd say about that. Jacqueline's writing is so poetic and rich that it's not graphic. You know, it's not trying to sensationalize violence, that it's actually done in a poetic way where, you know, we experience a moment simply through the text that the character says and not through anything else. So that, in a way, the whole audience is aligned with these two young women as they kind of journey into the world and find their own voices.
And what's, I hate to say that it's actually amazing in this day and age, but that you have a transgender person playing a transgender character.
Yes.
I mean, who'd have thunk it?
Imagine.
I mean.
Yes, yes. So it's really, really special. This is the second play I've done at Kansas City Rep that features a trans character.
What was the first one?
The first one was called Man in Love, and it was in our New Works Festival. It was a world premiere, meaning the first time the play had ever been produced fully. It's by Christina Anderson. And one of the characters, it was set in the 1930s in a city not unlike this one. And it was sort of about the blending of all of these different groups inside a city and the way they support each other with a serial killer on the prowl, actually. And the trans character in that was played by Bianca Lee, who's an incredible actress out of New York, and was absolutely gorgeous in the role. And, you know, the playwright Christina, not unlike this play, actually, felt it was very important that character, the trans character, had a happy ending. That it was, you know, that she supports her friends, and her friends supported her, and that was the story she wanted, part of the story she wanted to tell. And similarly, in Click, the role of Maria, ultimately, it's about so many things, and this character Maria both helps her friend seek this revenge, and they sort of live their best lives together, but also the cool thing is that in the end, Maria finds her own path, you know, that she's not simply serving her friend's needs. And so you see her sort of draw some boundaries. Her friend is you know, takes up a lot of space in the room. And so in the end, you see Maria saying, they're older, and she says, you know, okay, I can't do dinner with you tonight. I have to go home to my husband and kids, and I have a lot of work to do, but I'll see you tomorrow. You know, so there's a way in which this trans character is both deeply involved in the action and driving action of the play, and also has her own sort of joyful ending.
That is wonderful. It's nice to have us not be the tragic character. I mean, it's like the tragic lesbian trope. You
I was
know?
Thinking that. Exactly. Talking.
Yes.
Yes.
Like anytime you see on a show that two women fall in love, it's like, okay, which one's going to die?
I know.
Or both. So,
or recant and go back to her husband or something stupid.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that trope was, you know, definitely promoted in theater as well as popular media. And so I think that right now in the last 10 years, theater is beginning to take a pretty sharp turn towards being much more smart and agile and thoughtful about representation and the stories that we're telling, much more layered and varied.
So it would be very nice not seeing trans characters perpetually represented as drug addicts and sex workers.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Yes.
Or radio hostesses.
That old trope.
But moving on. So you've mentioned that you feature some free script-in-hand readings of new plays on Monday nights. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So as part of our New Works program, we have this wonderful series called the Monday Night Playwright Series. It's once a month. You can check it out on our website, kcrep.org. And we feature really sensational, powerful new plays that are in different moments in their process. So sometimes you can come out and you can hear a play that's never been read out loud before, and audiences get to give their feedback about where it's going and questions they have. Sometimes you're going to come out to and hear something that feels more polished. It's on its way to a production, and the playwright's already written a few drafts. The wonderful thing about this is that we throw the doors wide. They're free events. They're usually pretty packed, and they feel very lively and vital. When you come, what you'll experience, and this is what it will be for Click, is that there's actors there, professional actors, who are sitting at music stands or standing at music stands. And so they're reading the script, sort of a script in hand reading, but they're bringing it to life in such a spectacular way. I personally love readings because they feel raw and energized, and they allow the audience to meet them in terms of imagining what the possibilities for this play could be and imagining the set and design. And the really special thing, too, is that as audience members, you become sort of a stakeholder in the work, and we hope that you'll get to see it with us again in another reading or in a full production, so that there's a sense that you're investing in a new play's journey and in a playwright.
Exactly. I've went through that with the work Casa Valentina. They had that sort of event. Now, are there any potential opportunities in the future for local transgender talent?
Yes, absolutely. So, actually, the role in Man in Love, we did kind of try to look for a trans actress in town, and we're unsuccessful, which is why we brought in the amazing Bianca. But I would love, love, love to create more opportunities for access to and connection with trans actors in town. So we do have, I'll say a couple things about that. We have general auditions coming up at KC Rep. You can check those out on our website. And that's for anyone. You can just come in and share work with us, and that would be wonderful to put yourselves on our radar, and we'll call you back for other roles in the season.
How could someone who's interested in doing that get in touch with you? What would be the best way?
I think you could just go on our website and essentially just sign up. if you go to About Casey Rep, there should be an audition link to click on, and you just go ahead and sign yourself up for that. If you're feeling a little nervous, like, oh, I've never done a general audition before and I don't have a monologue memorized, I think you can just email us and we'll talk you through it, you know, maybe give you some coaching in advance if that's what you're looking for, because I know the artistic staff would like to create new avenues for welcoming people. I will say that, should I share my email address?
Certainly. If you wish.
Okay, so people are most welcome to email me. I'm Wolfmar, Wolfmar, at kcrep.org. And I'm not like the best email correspondent, but I'm always interested in connecting locally with artists. And that is a place I think that we can really grow.
I think several times there are actually, I know quite a few people that I know in the trans community or the gender nonconforming community actually do have a theater or stage background, but the problem is just disseminating information. It's so difficult to get it out there, and so many times I'll find out about an event and I'll try to spread it around, and then a month after it happens, I'll get an angry email from someone. They'll be saying, why didn't you tell me about this? Didn't you know that I had done this, this, and this? And I'm like, right. Well, so I'm hoping that by highlighting, you know, your efforts here and the potential opportunities down the road on this show, that we can get some folks out there and get them an opportunity to tell their stories.
Yes, I agree, because actually this is not just actors but also playwrights, people who have, maybe you've written a play for the first time, maybe you have five plays that you're working on, send them to me. You know, we're always looking to connect with local playwrights as well. And there are a lot of opportunities for actors through the New Works program, not only in these readings, but sometimes in very informal ways where we'll hire actors to come in for 3 hours and just read a script around a table with us. And that is a wonderful way for our team and our casting team to get to know you.
Don't you have a space like that for this one coming up?
We absolutely do. So Riley, our amazing actress who's coming in from Chicago for this role in Click, will only be here 2 of the 3 days for our workshop. So I am still looking for someone to join us for our for one of our rehearsal days. It will not be for the public reading, but it is pretty low-key, special opportunity to be around the table with us. So certainly, if you're interested, you can email me. That's coming right up this week, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday.
Could you repeat your email just one last time for our audience?
It's Wolfmar, Wolfmar, at kcrep.org.
And we'll have contact information for you on the 10th Voice Media Blast, too, as well.
Yes, I can add that email address into there. And that certainly sounds like a great opportunity for anyone interested in theater or just trying to get started in theater to take part in a low-key, less-pressure environment and make some useful contacts.
Exactly. That's right.
Marissa, I'd like to thank you so much for coming on Trans Talk today and sharing this wonderful news about this upcoming production with our audience.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.